Destiny understands firsthand the wounds that can come from living in a broken family.
When I moved back in with my mother, she didn't really care about much of anything because she was too high or too drunk to care. So I started running around with guys. And one day, my boyfriend said, "Do you want to try this?"
Today, we'll hear how Destiny and others broke free from the cycle through Jesus. And a word to parents, if you have little ears listening nearby, you might want to keep them busy elsewhere. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For August 17th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. This month, we're considering stories of redemption. We looked at the life of Rahab, a woman with a past who chose to follow the God she'd heard about. And this week, we're fast-forwarding about 3,000 years, and we'll be hearing from women in our own day, women who will readily tell you about the fresh start they've been given. Nancy?
I never, ever get tired of hearing stories about God's redeeming, transforming power. And we're going to get to hear some of those today. Now, each of us has our own story. No two individuals are exactly alike. But each child of God, each believer in Jesus, also has a story that is similar to that of every other Christian. All of us start out in this life as sinful human beings, desperately in need of a Savior. And then, even though the details may vary from person to person, the Spirit of God wakes us up to see our needy, sinful condition. And then he points us to the wonder of who Jesus is. The one who came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and died the death that we deserved in our place. Then he was raised from the grave and ascended to heaven, where he lives to intercede for us. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of repentance, the willingness to turn from our sin, and faith, the willingness to place our trust completely in Jesus. That's what we call the gospel, the good news. And it's always such a joy to hear the journey that God has brought others on to bring them to that same place of repentance and faith in Jesus. Well, a few years back, I first heard about a ministry that serves hurting women here in our local community. A group of ladies showed up at a Revive Our Hearts recording session. When we asked the women to introduce themselves, they told us that they were from the SPA Women's Ministry Home. Now, I think that's a brilliant name for a ministry, right? Who wouldn't want to be ministered to at the SPA? Well, as it turns out, SPA, S-P-A, is an acronym for Spiritual Personal Adjustment. This ministry reaches out to women who have struggled through abuse, addictions, you name it. They offer biblical counseling and practical help teaching the ladies important life skills. They give them a safe community of friends and relationships. And best of all, they give these women the Word of God. Recently, several of the women from the SPA ministry in Elkhart, Indiana, joined us for a chapel service here at the Revive Our Hearts headquarters. I think you'll be encouraged.
I want to share a little bit about SPA Women's Ministry Homes and introduce this ministry to you. But most importantly, I look forward to you having the chance to hear our ladies' testimony. I really want to introduce you to Christ in a new way through their stories and just how God's working in their lives. Our first graduate, Mary Russell, is here today, graduated almost 20 years ago, and continues to be just such an important part of this ministry. I'm going to turn this over to her, and she's going to share a little bit about her journey and what God's been doing in her life and still is doing.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. And I thank God just for being alive, for his grace and his mercy, because for almost 26 years of my life, I was in drugs. I was in alcohol. I took pills. I grew up in a family of 10. My mother was an awesome mother, a hardworking woman, and my dad was a very abusive alcoholic, emotionally, physically. So I just thank God for his grace and mercy today, because first of all, I'm alive. I'm alive. After growing up, feeling rejected, feeling abandoned, my mother, I loved her, but we raised ourselves. Even growing up in fear, because never knowing when my dad was going to come in our bedrooms. But the grace of God, even then, I did not know that a praying mother such as my mother was, and that didn't know everything that was going on in the house while she was gone, that God still, his grace and his mercy was upon us. So therefore, growing up, not knowing who I was, we didn't go to church very often, but when my mother didn't work, we went to church. And there was something about going to church and just being in that presence that I felt that I didn't even really know what that was. I just knew I liked being there. I knew it was just something about being in the house of God, even at a young age. So as I grew up, I started looking for love in all the wrong places. Had no direction. Didn't know who I was. So at 15, I got pregnant. And so therefore, I was a baby just having a baby. Did not know anything, really. So therefore, the church that I was going to, I felt more rejected. And so therefore, that was the beginning of when I left God's people, when I should have been staying because I didn't understand. I just didn't understand. So after that 25 years of my life, having known a little bit about God, but not really. So therefore, I went to a group of people that accepted me. That it was okay. You're pregnant, you're having a baby. So therefore, I stopped school. I had been drinking. I had drank some, but I stopped long enough to have my child. I went and got a job because that's what you do. The father was not a part of our lives, of my children's life. So therefore, as God, he still was with me. I didn't realize that then, but I do now today, that God was with me. So I ended up getting with the wrong group of people. I started getting in trouble. After I had my child, started drinking more, started drugging more. And then the next thing you know, I was dancing in the nightclubs. Because I had no other source of income. And then I had another friend before I ever left there that was in the street life. So therefore, I kind of had an introduction of that kind of life. But one thing led to another. The first charge I had was forgery. The drug, it increased. So therefore, I started stealing, lying, breaking and entering, selling drugs, doing whatever it took to try to feed that monster. I started going to jail several times. The judge didn't know what to do with me. I've been to about 10 treatment centers because even they saw something that I didn't see or I didn't know because I didn't even think I had a problem. I'm going to tell you, that's how being in a vicious cycle. That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. I was there. I lived there. So there were several times they called my mother because I had overdosed. Thank God for his grace. I was able to get back up, went right back out there doing the same thing. Then I got pregnant again. I was in the hospital or the rehab for about 6 months of one of my pregnancies because the doctor was afraid I was going to use, and he was right. He was right. I would have, especially with my last son because I didn't even know that I was pregnant. I felt hopeless. I thought I'd never be or do anything like my dad used to say when I was younger. He just said a lot of mean things, a lot of bywords. I thank God, though, the last 10 years of his life, he got saved. He got delivered. I thank God for that. I thank God that I was able even to forgive him because that kept me in a vicious cycle. Unforgiveness, bitterness. Why do I keep going back out using? I had unforgiveness in my heart. had anger in my heart. And God, he just kept trying to get my attention. All those times I went to jail, I didn't realize God was saving me from myself. I didn't realize that. Answering my mother's prayers, she would tell her friends, I sleep so well when I know that she's in jail because I ain't on the streets. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I thank God for the goodness and his faithfulness and that he loved me so much. He loved me so much. He loved me so much. So this last time that I went to jail, 21 years ago, in Michigan of all places too, I said, I'll never come back to Michigan. I'll never do nothing wrong in Michigan. Don't nobody do nothing wrong in Michigan. I tell my girls, I tell my ladies that all the time. But I thank God that he showed up and he met me there. I cried out to God and I said, God, I've been 20-something years. I can't continue to live like this. When I cried out to God to help me 20 years ago, he did. And all those things that was hidden in my heart, God delivered me. I learned what God's will and plan and purpose for my life was. And I thank God that I'm still able to be a part, to walk alongside ladies, to bring hope, to bring encouragement, to point to him. Because he is the truth. He is the light. He is the only way. I found freedom in Christ. I found freedom in Christ.
It was the newest spa girl until yesterday when we got a new girl. I've only been there 3 weeks, and I'm a very nervous person, so bear with me. My name is Brittany, and I am 31 years old. I have made my life difficult for too many years. Just recently, I figured that out. I've been an addict since the age of 13, getting in trouble with the law at 14. I struggled with sexual abuse from ages 8 to 10. I started using alcohol and marijuana to ease the pain of being molested and to fit in with the in crowd or whatever that is. I have chased the high into some pretty sketchy situations throughout my life, from making and dealing drugs to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've been shot at, been threatened, been hit. My own mom doubted I would live to see my 21st birthday. I tormented my mother, not on purpose, but with addiction, anger, and unknown mental health issues. I was a very aggressive and angry soul. In November 2013, me and my ex-boyfriend Chris were in an hour and a half police chase, which ended with Christopher losing his life. For a long time, I blamed myself and continued to use when I would get out of jail and prison to ease the pain of the loss, when all it did was mask the pain. Sorry. That didn't help at all. I only tend to get in trouble when drugs are involved. I recently found a place in my heart where I am ready to heal and grow and finally show that I know which path to take. It took a complete change of heart on my part to even be where I am today. I'm gonna take a pause from that. My mom tried to get me in the spa years ago and I was like, I can't do that. I can't live a life of just Christianity. Like, I can't listen to my own music. I gotta listen to Christian music. And God opened my eyes, and I seen the spa women's ministries as the path I need to take and finally be able to live. I am blessed for the opportunity to be in the amazing program and change my life for good. I got this little book when I was in prison, and it's called Touch Points for Women, Gift Edition. And God put on my heart last night that I need to share this little part. And it says, timing of God. And it says, many times God will intervene in your life in a special way, as he has done throughout history. Watch for those times and then praise God that you can play a part, even if it is a small one, in the movement of God in this world. And it was just like, that was meant to end this, and I'm shaking, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here and share my testimony. This is the first time I've shared it, and I'll turn it over to the next person.
Good job.
Good morning. My name is Destiny. I'm doing two things a little differently this morning. One, I actually wrote out my testimony. Usually I just wing it. And two, I'm wearing shoes. So. Anyway, so here goes. I was raised in the church from the time I was old enough to walk. My grandma would drag us from church to church. Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday Bible study. Both my parents were alcoholics and were in and out of my brother's lives. I remember one time we lived with my parents in Kentucky. My dad came home from work, and he was already drunk before he even got home. But his dinner wasn't hot, so he started screaming at my mom, and then he punched her so hard in the face that he split her nose in two, and blood splattered all over the living room wall. So I seen an Indian spear we had for decoration, and I grabbed it out of fear he was going to hit her again. So I grabbed it and stabbed my dad with it right in the shoulder. That was just one of the many things that we had to go through. So my grandparents pretty much raised us. My grandma was a pastor, and she worked full-time. So while she worked, we stayed home with my grandfather, which at the time, my grandma didn't know that while she was at work, my grandfather was physically abusing me and my brother and my younger cousins. My brother had MMR. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is. It is mild mental retardation. So needless to say, he was very slow in thinking. My brother was also younger than me, so I felt the need to protect him. So when he would do something wrong, I would blame myself. So instead of my grandmother and my aunt beating on my brother, they would beat on me instead. I would get so tired of the physical abuse, so I would go to try to escape by going to stay the night with my cousin at my aunt and my uncle's house. But when I would go there, my uncle would sexually abuse me when my aunt went to sleep. So I would try my hardest to be asleep and not get out of bed at all after my aunt was in bed. When I was about 12 years old, me and my brother were playing in the alley behind my grandparents' house. And I watched my neighbor walk back and forth talking to himself for a few minutes. And then he decided to pull out a gun, load it, put it to his head, and then take his own life. Right in front of me and my brother. After several failed attempts of me and my brother trying to run away, my grandma took it as I was just trying to be rebellious, and she couldn't understand why I didn't want to be there. And she separated me and my baby brother, sent me to my dad's to live. Leaving my baby brother behind in the house with the monsters, I was devastated. I felt like I had abandoned him. I was determined to get back with my brother. After several months of my dad's anger, alcoholism, and excessive drug use, he didn't want the responsibility of a child anymore. So he decided to finally give me back to my mom. Well, my mom was also an alcoholic, and she would pretty much do any drug that came her way, in a certain sense. I think she was trying to mask her pain because of the abuse she had to deal with from my father for 16 years. So when I moved back in with my mother, she didn't really care about much of anything because she was too high or too drunk to care. So I started running around with guys. And one day, my boyfriend said, "Do you want to try this?" And I said, "Yes, just to fit in." And that was the first time smoking meth. It all went downhill after that. So from the time I was 15 to 16, I started smoking meth every day. Then one day at my friend's house, I met a new drug dealer / my new boyfriend. About 1 year after dating him, I found out that I was pregnant with my first child. So that day, I stopped smoking meth until my daughter was about 11 months old. And then I was going through a divorce. Then my ex-husband got custody of my daughter, and I started smoking meth again every day. 3 kids and 2 marriages later, I got into some legal issues, and I got sentenced to 2 years DOC. But while I was in jail, about 3 months in, my husband of 9 years decided to get some other woman pregnant, and he divorced me. So when I got out of prison, he decided I wasn't fit to take care of my son, which he was right. So he took him from me, and I felt like my life had no purpose. So I wanted to end it. So I picked up a needle for the first time. That was the devil for me, because I started shooting up 9 grams of meth a day. And one day, I found myself so sick that I couldn't even lift my head. What I didn't know is my liver was failing, and I was dying. So I spent the next few weeks in the hospital. And they told me that if I didn't get a liver transplant immediately and stop using drugs, I'd die. So my mom got in touch with the prayer warriors and had over 3,000 people praying for me. I came home without a transplant and continued to do more drugs. Then before, in 2016, I decided to stop going to probation and got with a very abusive boyfriend. He stalked me and beat me and my friends. that I would go around for months. Until one day, he said he wanted to bury me and he wanted my tooth as a souvenir. Then I got arrested, which was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. While I was in jail, I felt like I had hit rock bottom and couldn't go any lower. So I finally decided, I got on my knees and cried out to God and asked him to be with me and help me and guide me. And here it is now 2.5 years later, and I've had a great relationship with God. I have 2 out of 3 of my children back. I've been sober for 2.5 years. I have my own car, a good job, an amazing husband, 5 beautiful stepchildren, my own home. I've never felt better, and I'm in perfect health. So thanks to God, I'm walking in the light and living a great life. So God gave me the life and a God-loving family I want, and he's given me many blessings. I can't thank him enough for my health, my sobriety, my family, and my life, and the spa. Since I've been at the spa, I have realized that you can have fun being sober. And they are my extended family. They're wonderful, beautiful people. And they've helped me make my relationship to God a lot closer.
Wow. Isn't it encouraging to hear what God has done in the lives of these women? In case you joined us in the middle of our program today, we've been listening to some of the women at SPA Women's Ministry Home. SPA stands for Spiritual Personal Adjustment. You know, I'm thinking today about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God." You might be thinking, that's not a very encouraging verse to read. That's a whole bunch of negative labels. But listen to what Paul goes on to say. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Praise God for the work of transformation that he has done in each of our lives. That verse isn't just for drug addicts or prostitutes. It's also for someone who may be trying to be a perfect mom or a social media maven, or maybe someone looking for identity in their church position. Our true identity is defined by our relationship with Jesus, not others, and not by what we may have done in the past. And these sweet women from the SPA Women's Ministry Homes are no exception.
That's exactly right. And anyone who's placed his or her faith in Jesus Christ can give testimony. And I think of the slave trading ship captain who was saved by God's grace and became a pastor and songwriter, John Newton. He wrote these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Redemption is a theme that runs through the whole Bible, including in the life of the Old Testament character, Rahab. Like John Newton, like the women of SPA Women's Ministry Home, Rahab had done things she regretted in her past, but God still saved her from destruction. And all this month, we're letting you know about the newest installment in our Women of the Bible studies produced by Revive Our Hearts, Rahab, Tracing the Thread of Redemption. I really think it's perfect for your next small group study, or it's a good tool if you need something to work through on your own. There's a 6-part Women of the Bible podcast that goes along with the study too. When you contact us to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any amount, we'll send you a copy of the new study on Rahab. To give your gift, head on over to reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. The number is 1-800-569-5959. Now, I just quoted from the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. Tomorrow, you'll hear a beautiful and surprising way that God used the words of that very hymn to work in the life of a young lady named Brooke. I'm Dana Gresh, saying please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Reminding you that everyone can be reached, even me. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.